Well, today let's talk about the Penguin from the Batman series. Listen to this little review of his origins.
And today we will explore the comic book origins of the Penguin. As with most comic book characters, there are often reimaginings and different versions to a character's past. We have chosen to primarily follow the storyline which unfolded in 1941's Detective Comics number 58, and which was expanded upon in 1989's Batman Secret Origins Special number 1. Oswald Chesterfield Cobblepot was once a child of a wealthy family that was bullied due to his short height, obese figure, and bird-like nose. At the same time, he was forced to carry an umbrella by his overprotective mother. Often taunted, he had no friends, and instead flocked to the company of birds. Due to this, he received his nickname, Penguin. After finishing school, he adopted the Penguin name and inherited his family's fortune. In turn, he began presenting himself as an intelligent, rich, and sophisticated gentleman who preferred the look of a tuxedo. Behind this facade, he had become angry at the world due to never having felt accepted. As a result, he took up crime as a means for gaining power and to take revenge on the citizens of Gotham who had dared sneer at his appearance. In his first stint as a criminal, Penguin robbed the Gotham Museum. There, he stole a valuable painting as a means to gain his acceptance as a mob member. Soon enough, he fell into an argument with the mob's boss, whom he killed with a rifle built into his umbrella. Following this, he became their new leader, using its vast criminal resources to stage several thefts around the city. This spurred Batman and Robin to investigate. Eager to rid himself of the troublesome crime-fighting duo, Penguin framed Batman for stealing a jade idol. With the police arresting Batman for the crime, the Penguin decided to break Batman out of jail in order to cement the Dark Knight's guilty appearance. Despite this ploy, Batman and Robin soon tracked the Penguin's gang and found the evidence needed to clear their names. While many of the Penguin's henchmen were captured, the mastermind managed to escape. Re-emerging with countless schemes over the years, he would later spend significant time in Gotham Penitentiary. Upon release, Penguin turned his attention to white-collar crime. Namely, he portrayed himself as a legitimate businessman running a restaurant and casino called the Iceberg Lounge. This was a front for his dealings in the black market. At the same time, he made a bid to control Gotham's criminal underworld. Failing, he found himself forced to work for Batman as an informant, using his criminal contacts to give the Caped Crusader an edge over the city's large criminal presence. Despite this arrangement, in which Batman would let small-time crimes slide, the Penguin would often cross the hero by launching larger exploits. These involved teaming up with much more notorious villains, such as the Joker. At one point, he even participated in an auction hosted by Professor Hugo Strange to buy the true identity of the Dark Knight, and worked alongside a multitude of deranged criminals in Ra's al Ghul's ploy to lay siege to Gotham's police headquarters. An iconic fixture in the Batman universe, the Penguin stands out from other criminals due to always having a cigarette holder in his mouth, wearing a tuxedo with top hat, and for having learned judo. Equally recognizable is his use of countless umbrella gadgets and weapons. These have ranged from those containing hidden blades and guns to hypnotic patterns and even a personal helicopter. Appearing in various media over the years, the Penguin is best known for his comical portrayal by Burgess Meredith in the 1960s Batman series. He is similarly recognized for Danny DeVito's deformed and monstrous interpretation in 1992's Batman Returns.
So that's just, in a nutshell, what was the history of the Penguin. I always appreciated him when I was a kid growing up watching him on TV. And hearing that, which sounds more like a duck than a penguin. But as I thought about it, I thought about some of the things that, when it comes to looking at a penguin, what they could teach us. And there's some things that we can learn from a penguin just by watching them. First of all, that they value communication. They're among the most social types of birds. Penguins are known to use different vocalization techniques and behaviors when they interact with one another. And they realize that communication is necessary for staying together. And they take care of their offspring. They seem to settle arguments and they seem to calm down. And whatever needs to be said is just this shriek away. It's this shriek that is used. And then they show love. It seems that they're showing love. The penguins hug, they kiss, they're seem to be responding to one another, and it's not just a thing that you would see on the movie Happy Feet. It literally is something that they seem to be responding well with one another. And then they share responsibilities. They do life mutually, and they keep their eggs warm. They maintain the nest. They provide food for their young male and female penguins, and they recognize that importance of working together. And then they're pretty monogamous. It seems that there was a study done, and Magellanic penguins seem to be among the most faithful of couples in the animal kingdom, with a monogamous relationship spanning 16 years sometimes. And penguins typically live for about 20 years after breeding. So if we were to respond as humans in this way, it'd just be a great way to go. And then it seems that they look at the fact that there seems to be this happy and carefree disposition. They occasionally pause to take a look where they've come from and where they're going. And in the face of their natural enemies and everyday concerns, they seem to remember to appreciate the great sceneries around them. And they play, they wallow in the greatness of the environment, too. So it would seem that we could learn from that, instead of being caught up on some of the things that we get caught up. And it made me think of this whole idea of faithfulness, made me think of the verses in Proverbs chapter 5, thinking about faithfulness in a marriage relationship. The Bible says, beginning of verse 15, drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. And so God is saying that we shouldn't look around. We should appreciate what we have. Verse 20 goes on and says, why should you be intoxicated, my son, with a forbidden woman and embrace the bosom of an adulteress? For a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him, and he is held fast in the cords of the sin. He dies for lack of discipline, and because of his great folly, he is led astray. And so, yeah, I started out the study thinking about the whole idea of the penguin, who is a villain, but I want to turn it and think about what God has taught us, even through the animal world. When we think of this animal, the penguin, that it's communicating something that the Bible is communicating in the area of how we should be faithful to what we're called to in our jobs and our tasks, and also to be faithful if we are in a relationship, that we should be faithful to our marriage partner. So I think that's a good lesson to keep in mind.